For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. In 1620, the Pilgrim Fathers and the Mayflower set sail from Plymouth to explore the New World. More than 400 years later, Darren from Plymouth explores today's New World. Darren from Plymouth is D.D. Denslow, and he's digging deeper on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And our new world now is going to consist of vaccines, digital IDs, and 15-minute cities, where hopefully everything that you could possibly want will be just within reach. These are some of the topics that I'm going to be talking today on Digging Deeper, yes, with me on TNT Radio, D.D. Denslow. Who have I got coming up? First up, we got Mr. Mick Chaves has joined me. He's just putting down his microphone and some of his singing duties, and he's coming to discuss the new world that we are living in. So yeah, 15-minute cities, digital IDs, the vaccines, and our latest bout of food shortages, which has hit this first world country in the UK. You can't get a pepper, can't get a tomato, can't get a stick of celery, but you can get plenty of processed foods. So all good if you're into your pre-packed, microwaved tikka masala, not enough to feed your five-year-old, let alone an adult. If you're interested in that, then that's fine. There's plenty of food for you, and there might even be some insect powder in there. And then coming in at 2 p.m., I have got ex-BBC journalist, now an investigative journalist. I had a quick phone call with him yesterday evening. Tony Gosling is his name. And I just know there's going to be some interesting conspiracy stuff for those who are interested in that, dating back from the Second World War or the beginning of the Third World War, as he stated it, all the way up to Portland Downs and how they were messing with viruses and how somebody who worked there actually told him that. So I want to get in that, get into that sort of false flag attitude with Tony. So stay woke with us, with me, should I say, D.D. Denslow, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. today on Digging Deeper, where George Eliasson will take over and we'll carry on talking about the war. I've had some nice comments come in to me on email. This one's from Caroline, so I hope you're listening, Caroline. Another show that tells how it is. I am so sad that thousands do not really understand what is going on in the world today. Well done for another show and for having Chris Sky on. The WEF must be destroyed. I actually think they're destroying themselves. Nobody supports the World Economic Forum. Nobody supports Klaus Schwab, including the people who now work for him, because there seems to be a bit of coup going on in the World Economic Forum. It looks like they're trying to oust old Schwabi baby. And also a big shout out to Freedom of Choice Twitter account. I'm sure you are listening. You always, on an almost daily basis, send me nice messages telling, commenting on my promotional tweets and promotional social media activities about what a good show Digging Deeper is. So yeah, good opportunity for me to boast and big myself up. I was always told when I worked in the dockyards back in those heady days of the 1990s, my boss used to say, Darren, you need to pat yourself on the back, because if you don't, no one else will. And actually, there has never been a truer, more accurate statement than that. He also once told me, Darren, this is about emails, yeah, because emails are my downfall. He said, Darren, think before you ink. Because once I got an email from my boss saying, Darren, yeah, I've been successful to even getting an interview, even though 6 months earlier I'd been promised. And I sent an email and he called me in his office, and I went in the office and he said, Darren, that took you 59 seconds to scream discrimination at me because I didn't get an interview. So think before you ink. That probably applies to Twitter, but less so now. Elon has taken over and we have some semblance of free speech, as long as you don't talk about immigration or race issues, because that will still seems to get you shut down. There is, if you go on to the tntradio.live website, There is an online symposium being advertised on there, gene-based vaccines and COVID vaccinations, the pharmaceutical crime of the century. That's taking place today, 6 p.m. German time. If you're interested in knowing more about that, because there's more and more information is continually drip, 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 drip coming out into the public sphere with regards to vaccinations. The latest part of that narrative, that storyline, is that women can no longer have babies, or at least 80% miscarriage rate in some reports. You might find some more very useful information there on the tntradio.live website. So go and check that out on our events. And if you have any suggestions for a possible guest or a host that you'd like to hear on TNT Radio, or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss, then we want to hear from you. You can complete the suggestion form on the tntradio.live website. Send me a message in the live chat. You know that I try to keep an eye on that throughout my shows. You can email me, Darren@tntradio.live. Keep it clean and make it nice, because if it's nice, I might give you a shout out, and it gives me a chance to pat myself on the back again, because I do actually quite like that. But whatever you do, keep listening to TNT Radio.
Bringing you a world view.
I like to hear what's going on around the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Digging Deeper with me, DD Denslow. And before me, I have Mick Chaves. Mick Chaves is a returning guest and a regular guest on TNT. Mick, how are you, mate?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me back on. I thought after the last time you'd have probably thought, oh no, I've had enough of that nutter.
No. We like nutters, mate. I tell you why we like nutters, mate. Because nutters have a tendency to be right, especially these days. Look at all these nutters protesting for their freedoms. Look at all these nutters who are racist because there are people raping their daughters and children. We like nutters because they tend to be right. I asked you a few things that you wanted to talk about. And please don't take this as a criticism, because everybody says the same things these days. They go digital IDs, food shortages, vaccines, 15-minute cities, and all things that I am quite more than happy to discuss on a regular basis because they're so prescient. And what's been coming out in the news, sort of storyline in the last week or so, is that there seems to be a shortage of fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, and other basic staple items that we take advantage for, or have taken for granted in the UK. What do you think about this storyline? Does it fit in with the overall sort of conspiracy nutter narrative that we've had over the last couple of years? And have you actually experienced any of these shortages yourself?
I've not experienced any of the shortages, but yeah, it certainly does fit in. We're getting people who work in the industry speaking out now. The reason there's a shortage of these vegetables on our in our stores is because the stores won't pay the prices for them. The energy price rise has made it impossible for these guys to produce these vegetables at a profit. So it's not cost effective for them to even bother trying to produce them. And I think ours is the only country that's going through this. A lot of other countries, they're still able to put, you know, a full range of fruit and veg on the shelves. But over here, they're pricing themselves out of the market because of the energy prices. It's not the producer's fault. The guys who are growing it, it's not their fault. They're stuck in this battle the same as the rest of us. They just can't afford to exist with what they're doing.
And when they can't afford to go to exist, they're going to go out of business. We've even seen schemes by the UK government who are offering money to farmers to relinquish their property. And this all feeds into sort of a Bill Gates type agenda where we're losing farmland. We see it in Holland, where farmers can no longer operate in a profit way. And so the Dutch government are coming in, taking the land and putting also real heavy restrictions on things like nitrogen emissions essential for farming. Is this going to continue? The latest I've got is that fruit and veg in the UK, and this is coming from supermarkets like Lidl and Aldi, who you normally have stocked up shelves, is going to last for another month. Do you think it's just going to be sort of a short spell of reduced supply, or is this just going to continue on and we're going to see more and more farmers in the UK lose their farms or being unable to operate them?
Like you say, you know, with the government trying to take over all the farms, you know, they're buying the farmers up. So you leave them guys and their families struggling for a few months, and then you offer them a windfall, you know, to dig them out, and they'll take it. So there's going to be a lot less farms. This country is going to be producing a lot less produce. But that's exactly what they want. It's all part of what we've all been talking about for so long now, the Great Reset and the agenda for the 21st century. We're living it, we're watching it, but people don't want to accept that it's actually happening, you know. And we're in the middle of it trying to fight the best way we can, and everyone's doing what they can. But the big corporations, you know, your Tesco's, your Asda's, we should be going to our local farm shop. We should be supporting the guy around the corner. You know what I mean? This is the things we should, we can still do, you know, and pay cash when we go there. This is the kind of things we can still do to, I can't say that we're going to stop them. I can't say we're going to win, but we can slow them down, you know, and we can help these local producers, you know, in our local communities by using cash and using their produce instead of going to Asda's and Tesco's.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. But why are so people so reluctant to join the dots? You know, and it's a question that I ask on a regular basis, multiple times every week. And I've never really had a good explanation. I mean, I went into my Tesco's and there was no tomatoes and no peppers or whatever it was that was missing. I can't remember. And there was a sign there basically saying, because of climate issues, these produce aren't available. And then today I saw a Daily Mail screenshot. It was a front page of the Daily Mail saying that 40% of all farmland is going to be required in order to meet net zero, because we want to grow the crops for biofuels. How do all these things marry? Is one of the reasons that they're crushing farmers is because of climate change? And why can't people just connect the dots? Are they too frightened to face up to the facts of 15 minute cities, digital IDs, and all these other things that we're going to discuss today, Mick?
Yeah, you know, it makes me laugh because you talk to people who aren't in our community and they talk about the rising petrol prices, they talk about the lack of food on the shelves, and you point them in the direction of what's really going on. And they say, oh, no, don't be stupid. Don't be crazy. It's because there's a war in Ukraine. It's because global warming. It's because of climate change. And you're like, will you wake up and smell the coffee? And you can bang your head against the wall for days with these people, and they will not see what we see. And it is some kind of mass psychosis. They just can't work it out. And we're all watching it happen, and we're all stuck as part of it. You know, we're out there every week doing something. And these people, they just think we're a bunch of nutters. It's like, what makes them that way? What makes them believe that whatever the BBC says? If it's on the BBC, then it's got to be true. That's gospel. And everything you're saying is all mad conspiracy theory.
Yeah. And did you find things like, I get up in the morning and I go, oh, I don't... The world isn't what I thought it was anymore. And I go out, or if I walk into a shop, if I walk into a room of people, it's an incredibly sort of lonely place. Do you feel that? Or do you feel that you've connected with a new group of people who you can walk in a room with and feel, I can say whatever I like and anyone in this room will understand me? You know, is society literally, and people can't see me because I'm using my hands, but are we literally just forking off into two separate realities, and both of them are running in different directions like a runaway steam train?
It's definitely the latter. Before COVID, right, you know, I've been on this journey. People like me and Martin, we've been on this journey for many years, and we've been watching it and seeing what's going on, right? And people have thought that we were weird, we were strange, we're like crazy people. But now I've got a community of people, exactly like you just said. I can go there on a Sunday. We meet in the park. During the week, we meet in the pub or the cafe, and surround myself by people that don't think I'm a raving lunatic. And they can see what we can see. And we're out there with yellow boards, and we're out there protesting. And we're such a strong community now. And this is, I don't know if the ruling elite expected it. I'm guessing they did, because they're about 30 steps ahead of us. But this coming together of people, for me personally, has been really encouraging, really fantastic. Because like I said, I was in a community of about one, and now I'm in a community of millions, and I love it.
Yeah, oh, I felt like that. In fact, I've just got a comment for a big shout out to Ant. In fact, I've got two, and I'll mention them. So I've got Willie from Bolivia who said, these people will see it when they are penniless. Is the cost of lockdown, the energy crisis, you know, bad man Putin, and all these other things that they're told are making them skint, is that going to be enough when people suddenly go, oh, look, the tomatoes are back in the shelves. Climate change must have been over, but now I can't afford them. Do you think that's going to be enough to get people into the streets?
I'd like to think it would be, but as we've seen, because the way they react to mainstream media is they will believe whatever the mainstream media tell them, and they will go along with whatever that the story is at the time, the current narrative is at the time. And like we just alluded to earlier with the farmers, you know, you make it so uncomfortable for people, you make their lives so difficult, and then you offer them a solution, and people will take it and they'll jump at the solution. You know, the Hegelian dialectic, it's been around forever, problem, reaction, yeah. Solution. Uh-huh. You starve someone and then you give them an handful of food and they will jump at it. And this is the problem. We can see it, but if the rest of the world don't see it, if the rest of the population don't see it, then as a race, as a human race, I'm not sure we stand too much chance of moving forward, because I still believe there's not enough of us and there's too many of them yes men, them followers, yep. Them sheeple, for want of a better word.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I often say, yeah, everyone's waking up, people are waking up, but we're just pulling one or two away every day from the big mass of mask wearers, or the people who got jabbed, or the people who are just blindly worrying about what's for tea, what's on TV tonight, and, you know, what do I do at work tomorrow, and has no other concept of a world outside of that bubble. And we're only pulling a few off at a time. We're not getting to that mass that we need, the critical mass, and it's only about 3 or 4% that would be enough to prevent our governments from continuing with their actions. Okay, we're going to a break now, Mick. When we come back, I want to talk about checks, notes, 15-minute cities, and also you mentioned about going to the park. I'm assuming that you still go to the stand in the park. And I want to know if the stand in the park, people who I haven't been engaging with recently, are changing their attack from, you know, vaccines and lockdowns, etc., onto 15-minute cities and digital ID. So stay right with us on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Steve Hook.
It's safe to say that Mexico is a narco state at this point. And by the way, in large part, that's because we have propped up the Jalisco cartel, the Sinaloa cartel, and all the other subsidiaries of those cartels with billions and billions of dollars by opening our southern border. They are making so much money off trafficking humans and, of course, drugs. And it doesn't look like our president nor anyone in his administration has any desire to change that. So they're not gonna do anything to slow down what's happening here. And we've got 2 years of hell before we have an opportunity to boot this administration out for all of their malfeasance. They're just incompetent. And if it was just incompetency, that would be bad enough. But it's more than incompetency. It's almost a willful incompetency. Have you picked up on that? It's almost willful.
Steve Hook on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's News Talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Are we on the air?
Am I on the air?
You're on the air.
On the air 24/7. Your news talk giant, TNT.
Welcome back to Digging Deeper. I'm here chatting away with Mick Chaves. You brought up Stand in the Park. I was engaging regularly with my local Stand in the Park, who have done excellent work in this city with their small protests and the yellow boards on the roads and on the roundabouts, etc., during the lockdown period and sort of post the restrictions ending. You're obviously still fully engaged with those people. I teach on Sundays, which is preventing me from getting with them. Are you changing tactics to focus on the new storylines of 15-minute cities and digital ID?
Absolutely. The Stand in the Park is what brought us all together in the first place, which is fantastic. But now it's moved to, and so many people are doing it. It's fantastic to see all around the country. People are coming together now. They spread off after the COVID, but now people are coming back together with the 15-minute cities. And people are out every week. Like the Kent Resistance is doing a different town in Kent every Saturday. They're doing yellow boards. They're handing out like newspapers. They're dropping leaflets, you know, and they're trying to educate the communities as to what these 15-minute cities actually mean to their community and to their freedoms, effectively. And so many people are doing it around the country. We was in Cambridge on Sunday, and that was fantastic. They come together, three different marches, all converging on one place for a rally in the afternoon. And that was really good. The week before, we were in Oxford. That was a massive one. Next Saturday, we're in Canterbury. Unfortunately, there's two on Saturday, Canterbury and Burgess Hill, you know, so I'm going to be torn which ones that I need to be at. But the Stand in the Park communities, the people that we've met are coming together purposely now with this in mind. Like, everyone knows now that everyone who was going to take the vaccine has taken the vaccine. That ship has well and truly sailed. It doesn't matter what Woody Harrelson says or any celebrity TV doctors. That ship has well and truly sailed. Anyone who was going to get jabbed up is jabbed up. But we've moved on now to the 15-minute cities. We've moved on to the digital ID. We've moved on to the one world currency, you know, and them controlling what we spend our money on and putting it down to climate crisis and all this rubbish. So we're moving on from that. The yellow boards have different messages now. They've all got different slogans on. And we're out there on roundabouts. We're doing the business every week. And I'm so proud of the resistance. I'm so honoured to be part of it. You know, now they've sprung back to life. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for groups like Stand in the Park and everyone who's been involved in speaking out against all these various narratives, we probably would be in 15-minute cities with vaccine passports and a World One currency already, or at least well further down the line. Like you said, we have massively slowed up and put obstacles in the way of the agenda. Well, at least here in the UK. You went to the Oxford protest. Amazing. Question then. Who supports 15-minute cities on the ground? Who in the public, who walking around in their right bloody mind? Because I don't know anybody. I haven't had anybody on the show come on and go, Darren, yeah, I think 15-minute cities is great. I want to be locked down after I've put myself up as a lab rat. Did you meet anyone? Because there were counter-protests there. I know you probably got
ordered. Unfortunately, we did, yeah.
You did meet people. Please, did you have a conversation with them? Did they explain why they thought it was a good idea?
No, these people are too far gone to have a conversation with. You know, it's the likes of Extinction Rebellion. They think that we're burning too much carbon. They think that I'm breathing too much oxygen. You know, they want me off the planet anyway. And it's kind of crazy. They team up with other source groups like Antifa, and they turn up wearing black masks and all dressed in black. They think they're some kind of paramilitary. And what they actually are is like 15-year-old kids with nothing better to do at the weekend. And they are so delusional that they think that we are destroying the planet, their future, a bit like Greta Thunberg. We're destroying their future. How very dare we? Because we want to use our cars and we want to go and visit our family in a different zone whenever we want and not when the government tells us. So these people actually believe it. You know, I've been face to face with these people on many occasions now. I met them first doing the libraries back in the last summer. And they are delusional. They believe what they're doing there. They are so brainwashed and indoctrinated. And these kids are our future. In Oxford and Cambridge, right, these are education hubs. These are the biggest universities in the world, right? And these kids are from those universities while we were there. And I'm like, oh my God, if this is the future of this country, I'm glad I'm on my way out. You know, I'm glad I've done my 56 years. I don't want to be around when these people take over. I really don't.
It's probably because there is a big sort of academic education center in Oxford and Cambridge and Canterbury, that whole part of the world, probably why you do get these delusional young people, because they are being indoctrinated in the universities. I mean, I've seen it in my local university. I was in there. I used to do some tutoring at degree level for chemistry. I'm a chemist. And it's Black Lives Matter all over the place, all big posters and everything. Black is great, Black Lives Matter, blah, blah, blah. Environmental issues. And as a teacher, all I saw was students having these types of storylines rammed down their throat. Now, Oxford's also received a bit of vandalism lately because they, because you get these little videos, they're good on social media because you get a lot of clicks, but of people ripping down cameras, pulling down the bollards, moving obstacles out of the way of the road. Is that still carrying on? And although we don't recommend anything in the way that's violent on TNT, something I have to say almost every show now, do you expect, choose my words carefully, do you expect that sort of pushback and destruction or vandalism to continue from members of the public?
Well, you know, I'd like to echo your thoughts on that. It's absolutely terrible that anyone should fight physically to keep their community the way they always wanted it and the way they want to keep it. It's absolutely terrible. But unfortunately, what we've seen is as quick as these bollards are getting moved and these cameras are being torn down, they're being put back up again. You know, and we know, we don't know. We believe that in the future, at the moment, it's going to be cameras. At the moment, it's going to be fines in the post. But we believe in the future, when these climate lockdowns become hard, that these cameras, they'll actually be barriers in the street manned by Serco officers, probably armed, not letting you out of your neighborhood, you know. And this is the dark future we've got to look forward to. So if people do whatever it is they feel they need to do to fight for their freedom, then how can we criticize that? I can't. I certainly can't. I don't condone it. I don't advertise it. I don't tell people that's what they should be doing. But how can I criticize people fighting for their freedom?
You can't. And we don't. And although I don't promote any sort of illegal activities, I believe that our governments are actually master super criminals who are paid for by uber criminals beyond anything that we've seen in a James Bond film, which might be coming up as a topic of discussion with my next guest. And therefore, I believe that, like you said, if we're fighting for our freedoms and we're fighting back against almost untouchable criminal organizations that call themselves our governments, then I think that we are right to rip down cameras and move out bollards that are restricting our ability to associate with each other and move freely. Do you think that's a fair statement, that our governments are effectively a criminal organization now?
Absolutely, they're a criminal organization, and what they are is puppets. And it's the puppet masters who are equally as criminal and insane. I mean, that these people, they don't have empathy. They're not like you and me. They don't even, to them, you and me, we're like maggots. We're like ants to be squashed. But they are so delusional, these people, and they think that they've got a free reign over the planet. And yeah, they have had for many, many years, many, many millennia. But people now, with this age of technology and information, we can communicate with each other. We can come together in small groups, and small groups grow, and small groups join each other. We saw, I don't know if you was there, but there was over a million of us in London in 2021. You know, we all come together. And when we need to, when we need to, we can do it. We can come together. And when we need to fight for our freedom, then we'll be ready to fight for our freedom. But now we do everything we can peaceably. We protest, we leaflet, we email, we sign petitions. We do whatever it is legally within our power to do, you know. And here's one of the things, I don't know, well, you must know this, don't, but we've got a lot more power than people think. When the bailiffs knock on your door to try and enforce one of these stupid fines, you don't have to open the door to them. You don't have to pay that stupid fine. You tell them, no, thank you. I don't contract with you. I don't know you. You're not welcome in my ass. You're a trespasser. You know, people think that they have to run from bailiffs. People think they have to be scared of bailiffs. You don't. They're just agents of the government who come in to try and enforce their stupid laws. You don't have to. Send them away. No violence, nothing like that. Just verbal. Send them away. I don't need you. I don't want you. I don't engage with you. Leave. And then there's nothing they can do. They can't come onto your property. Only the police can break into your property. And we've seen that, unfortunately, a few times. But a bailiff has no right to come into your property unless he's invited. He's like a bloody vampire.
Yeah, the power of no, and actually the power of the word of no consent or not consenting. I think that's the one word that I learned more about in the last 3 or 4 years than any other of the new, more than myocarditis, more than pericarditis, and all these other words that I learned. No and not consenting. You have that power. And if you don't give them their consent, they can't do nothing to you. And I don't think people, the average person, has any sort of concept or understanding of what I just said there. But obviously we do, and there are millions of us like those that went into London who do understand the power that we have. Okay, we're going to some quick news headlines, and then when we come back, I want to start talking about the digital ID. The ghoul, Tony Blair, has been doing the rounds looking particularly demonic as karma ruins his physical image and makes him a sicker and sicker individual. I can't stand that man. So please stay right with us on TNT Radio.
Big news.
Big news.
Big news.
The biggest breaking news story.
Holy crap.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. China's military has been placed on high alert after Washington flew one of its spy planes through the Taiwan Strait. Another 200 Twitter staff, including product managers, data scientists, and engineers, have been sacked as Elon Musk continues to try stabilize the company's finances. And Russia has unleashed another wave of airstrikes on Ukraine, this time targeting an electronic intelligence center located near the country's capital.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Welcome back to TNT. This is me, DD Denslow. I'm talking with Mick Chaves, all things Agenda and NWO and Agenda 21, Agenda 30, has so many names. And one of the lead architects and a possible replacement for Klaus Schwab. I'm sure the World Economic Forum are overjoyed at having somebody far more favorable to the public. Sir Tony Blair, I'm not even going to say Sir. Tony Blair and Lord Hague have called for everyone in the UK to get digital ID cards as part of a technological revolution. That's their new selling point. The former Labour PM and Conservative leader argued that government records are still based in a different era. And the idea of introducing ID cards has been controversial. Tony Blair has been pushing this for decades. It used to be first, it was a good idea. Let's have digital ID. Everyone should have it. Then it was voting right. Oh, if you want to vote, you need a digital ID. Then it was, if you're a foreign national, we want to be able to identify you and separate you from an English person. So immigration was tried for digital ID. They've tried with vaccine passports. They have seemed to fail every time they've gone, or Tony Blair has forced this issue. But now they're coming at us with the technological revolution marketing strategy, and it doesn't seem like Tony Blair has any intention of giving up on introducing this sort of papers please society to the UK and to the rest of the planet. How crucial is digital ID to the overall agenda? 50 Minute Cities, climate change, and the restriction on our rights, and maybe more jibby jabbies in the future.
You know what, Darren? This is exactly what I've been saying for years. The digital ID is what this has been about from day one. The COVID was to implement the digital ID. The vaccine, the messenger RNA gene therapy, is something that they're going to use against us forever. They're going to introduce stuff into our DNA to make us glow in the dark. You know, we're all going to have numbers. Taking the microchip, people, I've said this a few times recently. People think it's putting a chip in your hand. No. It's injecting nanobots into your body that can be controlled by 5G, right? And now they have the technology to do it. When Tony Blair was talking about it way back after 7/7, he wanted us all to have the ID, photo ID back then. And we're like, no, we're not going to carry photo ID. So you know what he did? Yeah, he just changed the driving license. And he said, you've all got to send your old pink driving license away, and we're going to send you this nice new one with a photo ID on it. And then all of a sudden, every single one of us in the country was carrying a photo ID. The kids needed a photo ID to get into school. Now it's a digital ID. They can change the name. They're going to call it whatever they want, but it's all the same. It's all about controlling us. And they'll say, right, initially it will be on your phone, but someone could nick your phone or you could lose your phone. Oh, well, now it has to be on your personage. It's all been in the plan from day one. And a lot of us can see it coming. And I know I still sound like a mad conspiracy theorist, Darren, but this is what I've seen for our future for a long time.
I remember first hearing about, the first time I heard about digital ID was when I was about 16 years old, and I was in a room with some Irish dude, and his mother was a gypsy, and he said, oh, my mum was like, she was classed as schizophrenic, and they were giving her electric shock treatment, blah blah blah, and she used to bang on about how the mark of the beast in the Bible was actually going to be like your national insurance number, like a barcode that everyone's had. So this was like 1994, and actually this mad Irish gypsy tale from a schizophrenic origin always stuck with me. In fact, it's making the hair on the back of my neck stick up on end. And then there was a guy called Russo who did an interview with Alex Jones, another crazy out there. And he talked about the Rockefeller's plan for the new century, about they were going to microchip everybody with RFID chips. So I've known about this as a storyline that I didn't believe until recently because it's now becoming real. Do you think that, are you religious in any way, Mick? Going on a tangent here.
I'm not religious in any conventional sense of the word. I'm not a Christian, but I do have a God, you know, and I do believe in a greater power. And I know that the story in the Bible of the mark of the beast was a prediction. It is real. It is coming. You know, they tell us what they're going to do. Remember, it was the Romans that wrote our version of the New Testament. They decided what went in and what didn't go in before they changed their name to Catholic. And they are telling us that this is what we are going to do to you, and there is nothing you can do about it. If you want to buy food, you will have the mark of the beast. If you want to eat, if your family wants to survive, you will have the mark of the beast. No, we won't. We will live outside of your communities. We will survive regardless of you and your technologies. Why? Because we're not scared of you. You can't scare us. There's nothing you can do to us, you know, and we will fight till our last breath. You know, they're talking about poisoning the land so that they can forcibly move you off it. Yeah, all right, carry on, try. But we will fight you till our last breath because we will not take your mark of the beast, your digital ID. And Tony Blair, well, he was the worst war criminal that we've ever had, and he was never brought to trial. But boy, you know, I hate him more than any other MP ever.
Yeah, there's pretty much no other sort of political figure or establishment figure in my mind that I dislike more and deserves punishment more than Tony Blair. He has the blood of a million Iraqis dripping out of every pore, the butcher of Baghdad. And unfortunately, these people never see justice. Now, you mentioned about poisoning the land, and that's actually quite interesting because we were just talking about farming. And we were just talking about the 15-minute cities. I'm going to give you a little guessing game now, Mick. Which American city is going to be the first, or which American state is going to hold the first 15-minute city in the USA?
It wouldn't be Ohio, would it?
Wow, that was a really good guess, mate. It would be Ohio. In fact, Cleveland has been earmarked as a 15-minute city. I don't know how far away it is from the epicenter of that train crash or derailment, that environmental incident that happened a couple of weeks ago, and is still ongoing. Do you think, to further their aims, they're going to start poisoning the land and forcibly getting people to move out of rural areas into more urban areas?
You know, I don't mean to sound like this mad conspiracy theorist that I am, but I actually do believe this, right? They're trying to scare us with World War III. I reckon they will destroy masses of land with low-yield nuclear bombs, and people will be forced to move out because of high radiation levels. And that's the only way they're going to get people to move from their land, is to say that it's so deadly to live there that you've got to move into our smart cities and we can protect you there. The radiation won't reach you there. You know, and I know I sound like a nutter. I get it. I always have done. It doesn't bother me. But this is what I see. And now I'm looking at it. Everyone's talking about World War III now. It's just a maneuver to get their smart cities, to get the digital ID. Everything is all part of the same plan. And the Bible told them about it 2,000 years ago.
Yep. And I don't think you sound like a nutter, because people might say Darren's going a bit nutty now. He spent 45 minutes with that Mitt bloke and he's lost his mind. But I listen to, and it's on a computer that I can't start. It's an old computer. And I listen to a speech given by a pediatrician who claimed to be a pediatrician. This is all alleged, yeah? A pediatrician who worked for the Rockefellers gave a secret talk in 1960s. It was not supposed to be recorded. And he went through climate change. He went through the transgender stuff, all these narratives that they're going to put on the public. They're going to use science to fool the public. And the final thing that they would do, there would be a conflict, probably with Russia, I think it was China, he said, and that there would be a limited use of nuclear weapons, and that would finally scare the governments of the world into cooperating in a one-world system. Do you believe that that's a possibility? We see the groundwork being laid right now by the US, NATO, maybe even Russia and China are in on the plan. Who knows? Limited use of nuclear weapons to get everybody concentrated into cities?
Absolutely, I do. And we've seen with their weather modifying technologies, you know, there's no way in the world that I believe Fukushima was an accident. You know, I believe that was a punishment to Japan. The whole thing was done. They can do anything they want with this planet, with this realm that we live in. And this is one of the things we've got to realize. So them using low-yield nuclear bombs in a few strategic locations around the world is not outside the realm of probability. That is something that is quite, when you look at it and you think about moving their agenda on, if you look at it through their eyes, yeah, why wouldn't they? They don't care about killing a million people. That would be nothing to them. They want depopulation anyway. And those that are left are all herded together in the places they want them to be. It sounds so simple, unfortunately, but, you know, And I'm fighting for my offspring, my children and my grandchildren. For me, I don't care. There's nothing you can do to me. But for my, you know, my grandchildren, this is their future I'm thinking about. And I'm like, nah, you know, maybe this was the best time to be alive. Maybe this was the battle that we're all destined to fight, you know, and I'm glad I'm here fighting it. But I've got, you know, 4 grandchildren at the moment, and it's just scary for them, you know, for their future.
Yeah, I have a 16-year-old daughter. I haven't quite got to grandchildren stage in my life yet. But you said, you know, this is a fight that maybe we were born to take on. I actually feel like that. I've devoted my life for the last 3 years to speaking out. I'm sure you have. I'm sure Murray, who's sitting in the studio, and all the TNT staff feel like that. And those who are listening, that this is the battle of our lives. But it is still the most interesting time to be alive. I'm glad it's now, and I'm glad I'm here now, and I get to witness these events unfold before me, and I get to talk about them. So it's like a double privilege in some ways, and doubly interesting. Okay, we're going to a quick break now, Mick, and then we come back. Oh, I've got to check my notes again. Fertility seems to be doing the rounds, so let's talk about vaccines. I can't leave it alone. Please stay right with us on TNT Radio.
Climate change. What can it do? Climate causes train derailments? Say it ain't so. Oh, but they say it is so.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
In 2020, Scotland's transportation secretary said the climate crisis is presenting increasing challenges for rail safety. The fatal train derailment was blamed on extreme weather caused by climate change. Not to be outdone, the U.S. federal government has asked if global warming is causing more deadly car crashes. Back in 2007, a former Clinton administration official, Joe Rahm, questioned whether a bridge collapse in the state of Minnesota was a result of man-made climate change. Carbon dioxide must really be a magic gas. Just this month, it was blamed for recent earthquakes. Now we know why Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg says that every transportation decision in the 21st century is a climate decision. We have finally reached peak insanity. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
You only put your son to bed 1 hour ago and he's woken up saying his tummy really hurts and he's got a temperature. You're worried. The 111 person you normally speak to isn't available. The surgery's closed. It's not an emergency, but you're not sure what to do. Then you remember the new free 24-hour NHS number, 111. They assess you and direct you straight away to the medical help you need. Your 111 relieved mum.
If it's not a 999 emergency but you need medical help fast, there's now 111 number to call. When it's less urgent than 999, call 111. Now available on the Isle of Wight.
You're listening to Digging Deeper with D.D. Denslow on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the last 10 minutes of Digging Deeper. Well, the last 10 minutes of this hour of me and Mick. We're chewing the fat on the crazy conspiracy theories that seem to be actually happening. Comment here from Justin. Kids have biometric fingerprinting for school meals at school now. My local university is doing facial recognition technology to measure attendance and stuff. So, you know, these things are coming. Your face will be your passport. And then in the very next comment from Anto. Big shout out to Anto. He's always a regular. Listening to my show, my phone will be getting ditched. Hey, maybe that is the answer. Let's just cut everything off. And then not only do we not know what's going on, but we're not actually taking part. Right. So I said I was going to talk about fertility and vaccines. Did you see the Tina? Have you seen the Dr. Tina Piers interview on GB News this weekend with Lawrence Fox?
No, I've not seen it, but I think I have heard some things about it.
There's been some shocking statistics, not just from that particular doctor. And why was she allowed on GB News? Who knows? Why are these people allowed on the mainstream media, on BBC, to say vaccines are bad? Who knows? We could have a whole conversation. Gamekeepers, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to pick a side there. I've got a foot in both of those camps, unfortunately. But yeah, maybe they are gamekeepers. However, some of the statistics coming out with regards to fertility, which I think is going to be the new sort of narrative. We've had excess deaths and everyone's screaming about it. Now we're going to be talking about not excess, but a decrease in birth rates. And there's some shocking statistics coming out from the most vaccinated countries where, you know, up to 80% of vaccinated women who have got pregnant or who were pregnant are having miscarriages. Sperm count down like nearly 20% in men who have had the vaccine. You've already mentioned depopulation. I believe it is probably the most serious issue of them all that we face right now. Are they actively just trying to, not just try to put us in cage, but they really, really want to rapidly reduce our numbers? Do you think that's a push on that?
Yeah, they do. They've been speaking about it for years. It's not new. You know, some of us have been following this for 30 years and they've been speaking about it way back then. They consider us to be the biggest disease on the planet. Now, the vaccine, I believe, this is only my opinion, the vaccine was going to have collateral damage, probably in the tens of millions, right? But the vaccine was never going to kill 6.5 billion people. It wasn't. That's what I believe. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's collateral damage. Yes, millions will die. Infertility, people losing their babies. Yes. But they expected that. Like we spoke in the last section, when they want to really get rid of big numbers, they will go for something destructive. You know, because like we said, the land's got to be scorched. They don't want us to use those bits of land. So they're going to destroy the people and they're going to destroy the land. And that is the only way they can force people all together. I live in the middle of nowhere. You know, I live in an amazing place. We've got animals, we've got crops. You know, I'm miles away from anywhere. And I think, oh, I'm perfectly safe. Well, I'm not safe if they destroy the land. I'm not safe if they poison the water. You know, it's all very well being off-grid, being in one of these communities, but if they come and destroy it, if they blow you the hell out of it, you know, then you're not as safe as you think you are. And the only way they're going to get us all locked into, say they wanted everyone on this island in London, Birmingham, all the big cities, and all the towns are gone, you know, and the little villages are all gone. We've all got to move into the cities. What is it they need to do to make that happen? That's what we've got to be asking ourselves, you know. Uh-huh. And the vaccine, yeah, the vaccine was killing people. The vaccine is still killing people. But we're at a stage now where no one is getting the vaccine anymore. You know, I've got 100 people in my family and extended family that are jabbed up. And all of them have stopped getting the boosters. None of them are on their seventh booster. Some of them went as far as five. You know, some of them had their six. But they've just stopped getting the boosters. So unless they roll out another pandemic, these people, that they need to re-advertise to get these people to rush out and get the booster again. You know, I think the vaccine has passed its sell-by date, which is why there's this slow trickle of information coming out on mainstream media. And don't be mistaken, GB News is mainstream media. And they're putting out about vaccine damage on mainstream media. But it doesn't matter. That ship has sailed. Everyone who was going to be jabbed is jabbed. You can't unjab somebody. So they can talk about it on the BBC or GB News or wherever they want. They're not going to save my loved ones who are already jabbed. They're going to make me more angry. Yeah, of course I'm angry. I'm always angry, though. But we're not going to get those people unjabbed. So the death toll from those vaccines, from the COVID-19 vaccines, will continue to rise over the next years, probably the next 30 years. But each time, each year you get further away from when they had the jab, they won't see it as the jab. You know, if an 18-year-old had the jab and then he gets cancer when he's 27, he's not going to see that as being caused by the jab. We will, because we've been screaming it for the last 3 years, but they won't see it. And each day we get further away from the jab, the harder it is to convince people that they're actually suffering vaccine damage. You know, they think, oh, well, I got cancer because one in two get cancer. No, you got cancer because you had the jab.
People never used to get cancer like they do now. There never used to be autism and these other sort of, you know, Asperger's and ADHD and all these other problems. And nobody is willing to take those and all the other illnesses. You know, look at obesity with I mentioned processed food. You look at obesity. Nobody links it back to the actual cause. They just take what they hear off the BBC and they're not willing to look at any other narrative that actually seems correct. And one of them would be in the case of things like cancer and ADHD and Asperger's and autism. It looks like it's linked back to the vaccines. You mentioned gamekeepers, controlled opposition, the people who seem to be getting on the BBC unexpectedly and talking about the vaccines. Do you think that there is a group within the freedom movement? Have we sort of been infiltrated, and are they trying to steer the narrative?
When they released the vaccine, they knew 100% that there would be collateral damage. Now we're witnessing the collateral damage. They're trying to get ahead of it by putting their people, the people that told you to get the vaccine, people that spent a year and a half telling you that you must get the vaccine, they're now telling them to say, no, tell people the other way now so that we can get in control of it. A few people at Pfizer will lose their jobs. A few people at Sage maybe even might get prosecuted. But the main culprits will never come to trial. But everyone will know within the next few years that it was the vaccine that is killing people. And they will say, sorry, we didn't know. Well, let me tell you, we knew, and I'm not even learned, and I knew. So they definitely knew. You know, so they're using their mainstream media. They only invented GB News during the COVID so that they can control the information that us resistance people were talking about. And then they chucked people like me off of YouTube and Facebook and Instagram, the ones that went where people actually listen to us, and they put us in fishbowls like Telegram where we speak to each other. You know, they want to control the information, and they are controlling it. What better way of controlling it than having their own TV personalities, their own A-lister celebrities, and their own politicians controlling the narrative? And people, you know, I've lost a lot of followers because of this, because of my stance on this. But I don't care, because I'm speaking my truth. These people spent 2 years telling you to get the vaccine, and now when it's too late, they've changed their mind and they're telling you not to get the vaccine, and I've got to give them my respect and support. Well, that wouldn't have worked in Nuremberg, would it? If everyone said, oh, look, you know what, guys, I'm sorry. We didn't mean to do what we did during the war. We changed our mind there. It wouldn't work then, would it? So why does it work now? But for some people, it does. You know, Darren, I don't mean to go on, but this, I feel very passionate about this. And we... people that were saying it 2 years ago can stand shoulder to shoulder with me any day of the week. People that have just flipped sides, I don't want to know. Nothing to do with them.
Yeah, it's a, and I agree with you. And I agree with you more now than I might have a month ago, because I was given it. I was saying, you know, well, we should allow these people to go. They might be doing some good, and they may still. But you're right. They should have known. I keep using the brainwashing as an excuse for people like the BBC doctor, but actually they should have known. Mick, everyone's agreeing with you in the live chat, so you must be saying something right, mate. I'd love to have you back in the future. Everyone else, stay right with us on TNT Radio. I've got Tony Gosling coming up, and it's going to be another conspiracy tinfoil hat tile conversation, or at least I'm going to try and make it that way. So stay right with us on TNT Radio.